Hallelujah. Praise God. We may take our seats. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful day today, and I greet you in the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 I can't hear you.
Amen.
Still, I can't hear you.
Amen.
I almost heard you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 19 and verse number 21. That's where we are going to begin from, and we are going to open to a lot of other scriptures as we go. My intention is to go slow and speak slowly until the end of the service. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But sometimes things change during the course of the sermon. Praise God. But I will try my best to just talk to us and go through some scriptures together. And this is the New Living Translation. Before we read, let's say the Word of God is alive. Now, and make it your confession. The Bible says you get what you say. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says, you have snared yourself by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. If you speak good words about yourself, those good words will come to pass in your life. If you speak negative words in your life, you trigger the negative forces to be at work in your life. Hallelujah. So, why would you want to speak negative things? And why would you resist confessing positive things? Knowing that Jesus said, you shall have whatsoever you say. Mark chapter number 11. Hallelujah. Therefore say with me, the word of God is alive.
The word of God is alive.
We can do better. Say, the word of God is alive.
The word of God is alive.
That's a lot better. Say, the word of God is alive.
The word of God is alive.
It is active in my life today.
It is active in my life today.
The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding.
From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding.
And I receive it right now.
And I receive it right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Clap hands for yourself for a positive confession. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that how you clap for yourself? Thank you. That's better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Hallelujah. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. When people talk about dreaming, or having a dream, usually, according to my observation, they will be talking about two different things. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. But according to my observation, I am correct. I think when people talk about dreaming and having a dream, they are not talking about the same thing. And I think there is a difference between dreaming and having a dream. There are instances in the Bible where we see a person or where a man dreamt and their dream was turned into a dream. For example, in the book of Genesis chapter number 41, a man called Pharaoh had a dream. In Genesis 41 verse 1, it says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And this was a dream of the night. It happened while he slept. But when he woke up, he couldn't forget the dream. And the dream could not get out of his mind. It bothered him, and something told him, this dream has a meaning. It's not just one of those dreams. Nobody could interpret it until some guy who had been in prison with Joseph said, "Oh, the gods forgive me." There was this guy that we had in prison who interpreted my dream, and it came to pass. And Pharaoh said, "Bring him forth." And they brought Joseph. And then Joseph interpreted the night of the dream that Pharaoh had. And in verse 34, he says, "Let Pharaoh do this." Now he is turning the dream of the night into a national dream. He's turning the dream of the night into a national dream. He says, "Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years." We are not going to go into the details of the dream. But because of Joseph's God-given wisdom and ability to interpret dreams, he interpreted the dream of the night by Pharaoh into a dream, into a national dream. And it became a national dream that saved the land, not only the land of Egypt. It also saved the surrounding nations. And indeed, it worked out. And then we see another Bible character in the book of Luke. It was Simeon's dream. It was not a dream of the night. But it was his desire that before he died, he wanted to see the Messiah. In Luke chapter number 2, verse 25, New King James Version says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." So this man, Simeon, had a dream, which Pharisees and Sadducees did not have, which scribes and teachers of the law did not have. Herod didn't have it, and other politicians of the day, they didn't have it. But this man, Simeon, had this dream as he served God in the temple. And his dream was, "Before I die, I want to see the consolation of the Lord." In other words, I want to see the appearance of the promised Messiah, the one whom the prophets have spoken about. Before I close my eye and be gathered to my fathers, I want to witness him. And then when Joseph and Mary presented the baby, Simeon prayed and said, "Now your servant can depart in peace, because my dream has been fulfilled. It was not a dream of the night." Hallelujah. Amen. To have a dream is to be cause-driven. If somebody says, "I have a dream," it means they are driven by a reason. They are driven by a cause. There is something that must happen in their lives. There must be something that they want to achieve before they die. Because that's their passion. That's their dream. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul says, I said, to have a dream is to be cause driven. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, for this cause, whatever Paul did was cause driven. He says, "For this cause, I bow before the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray for you, that Christ may be born in your hearts, that may, together with the saints, you may be able to understand or to comprehend the width, the height, the length, and the depth of God's love." And the same Paul, before King Agrippa, when he was giving a testimony after they arrested him and accused him of many things, he said, "Oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I saw a vision, and whatever I am doing, the preaching that I am doing, the fanaticism that you accuse me of, is cause-driven. I have a dream. My dream is to see Israel saved. My dream is to see the people of God coming back to God and be reconciled to him. And King Agrippa, I know that you believe what I'm saying. You believe the prophets, don't you? And Agrippa said, you almost converted me. So if King Agrippa is in hell right now, he almost got converted. But then it was so close yet so far. Hallelujah. That's Acts chapter number 26 and verse number 19. If somebody interjects you and say, ah, come on, wake up, stop dreaming. Come on, wake up and stop dreaming. You know exactly what they are talking about. They are not talking about what's happened to Simeon or to Paul or to Pharaoh and Joseph. You know exactly what they are talking about. I don't know what team you support. I support Liverpool. But if I come here and say, you guys, please pray for me. I want to go for trials. I want to go for trials with Man City or Liverpool or Arsenal. I want to get into the first team and become a super soccer star. What are you going to say to me? You are going to tell me to stop dreaming. It's not even a dream. It's dreaming. Hallelujah. So there is a dream. There's a difference between a dream and dreaming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many times people think they have a dream and yet they are dreaming. And that's the reason why there is no achievement in their lives. That is the reason why there seem to be no direction in their lives. You can't see where their spiritual life is going. You can't see where their economic life is going. You can't see where their family life even is going. Because they are dreaming. And they don't have a dream. And somebody didn't tell them there's a difference between a dream and dreaming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So I talked to you about going for trials to Manchester City or Liverpool. I will be talking fantasies. Unrealistic mumbo jumbo. Hallelujah. You will be concerned for me. You won't even pray for me. You begin to look around if there are any mental nurses around so that they may help me. Hallelujah. Because it's not realistic. It's not a dream. It's dreaming. Hallelujah. But it's different when somebody asks you, let's say it's Pastor David or it's your life coach. It's different when they say to you, brother, what is your dream? What is your dream? It's different. You know exactly what they are talking about. Hallelujah. You know they are not talking about the dreams of the night. You know they are talking about something serious. They are talking about your future plans, your passion, your aspirations, your vision, something that you want to become, something that you want to do, hallelujah, in an organized, well-planned and prayed for manner. You know that's what they are talking about, hallelujah. And you know they are talking about a vision, and a vision is a picture of the future that has not yet arrived. Hallelujah. A dream is like a movie about the future that you envisage. Hallelujah. You film it right to the end and you come back to its beginning and you begin to replay it until you get to the end. Hallelujah. We're together. Hallelujah. You are not yet there, but you are working towards getting there. So, Solomon here uses the word plans, where we read. He says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. Probably he was talking about dreams, but he used the word plans. Hallelujah. Amen. So we can say, many are plans or dreams in a man's heart. But hallelujah. But it is the dream that comes from God that will prevail. Hallelujah. Amen. A child of God is supposed to dream. Every child of God, every one of us here, We are supposed to dream. Not just the dreams of the night that we forget in the morning. But we are supposed to have plans for our lives. Every child of God is supposed to daydream, to stop dreaming and have a dream. If you want to live a reasonable life, you have to stop dreaming. And you have to start having a dream. Then the question is, what is your dream? Some of us don't even have a dream. Praise God. We talk about a dream. They begin to think about the dog that they dreamed chasing them last night or the other day. But that's not what we are talking about. Okay, let's say, what was your dream then? Before you got frustrated, what was your dream? And what went wrong with that dream? What went wrong with your dream? What was your dream? We all had dreams in the beginning. You know, when we were growing up, we all had dreams. We dreamt this dream marriage, this dream career, this dream car, this dream house, this dream. You know what dream thing I'm talking about. Hallelujah. What happened to the dream? What happened to the dream? Hallelujah. If your dream didn't materialize, you can dream again. But it will be criminal of you to live a life without a dream. Hallelujah. It will be wrong. It will not be correct for a child of God to live without a dream. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Children of God have to stop dreaming and have a dream.
Yes.
One dream, one passion that they can pursue. Something they can call a vision. Something that they want to achieve. Hallelujah. People without a dream always find themselves dreaming. They keep on changing what they plan to do. Today they want to do medicine, tomorrow they want to do engineering. And the next day they want to do psychology, and then the next week but one, they want to do music. They even buy a guitar or a piano or whatever, but next month they have a garage full of spanners. Now they want to do mechanical. They are always dreaming. They are always dreaming. That's why we have so many books in our libraries of the dreams that we dreamed and then we wanted to do and we stopped and we changed and we moved on to the other thing. Not a dream, but daydreaming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the difference between us people, hallelujah, the difference in life is the dreams that we have and how we manage them. Some people get a dream and they pursue it. Others keep dreaming and dreaming and dreaming and they keep dreaming. Hallelujah. So, I sometimes sit down to reflect, you know, as I think about my life. And as you can see and as you can tell, I am a young pastor. But I used to be younger. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am young, I know that. You don't have to tell me. But I used to be more young than I am today. But as I was growing up, I was always dreaming. And I had to wake up and stop dreaming because some of the things that were going on in my mind were vain dreaming, were just plain useless dreams. Mumbo jumbo that I spoke about. So I had to wake up and have a dream. Say, now I want to have a dream. I want to pursue this dream. Has anybody ever told you to wake up and stop dreaming? Has anybody ever told you to wake up?
Yeah.
While you are awake,
yeah,
watching TV and somebody say, hey, come on, wake up, sister, wake up. Praise the Lord. That's why we come to church, to be told to wake up. Praise God. If we refuse to wake up, we take offense. How could he tell me to wake up when I was awake in church? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when people tell you to wake up, that's what I'm talking about. So I had to wake up. Hallelujah. As time went on, I matured and got a dream. And as I go through my mental files, I ask myself about the dreams that I had, and I say, what was my dream, by the way? What was my dream? I have achieved some of them, but some of them I still have to achieve. Let me repeat what I said, as I said earlier on. I had a dream car. You know, growing in the jungles of Africa, you see cars passing by, you know, emitting smoke. You know, that smoke used to fascinate us a lot. Those emissions from exhaust pipe, oh, they used to fascinate us. And I used to have, you know, a dream car. I remember my dream car was a Zephyr 6, if you have ever heard about it. Zephyr 6. Praise God. And then it changed, and my dream car became a BMW. There was a BMW called Cheetah. You remember that one? Some of the old guys, like someone sitting near to the door, they know it. Hallelujah. And all that changed with time. Hallelujah. So I look at some people in life. Sometimes you sit in a plane or in a train, or sometimes you are passing by the road and you see somebody begging. And they are, you know, sitting there begging. They have little possessions by them, by their side. Or you see these guys basking. I learned that playing guitars with a basket there is called basking. I learned some years ago. And then I ask myself, this gentleman sitting here begging at this age, what was his dream when his parents were sending him to school? Did he have a dream, or is just the parents who had a dream, but he had no dream? If he had had a dream, he wouldn't be sitting there begging. But the reason why he's sitting there begging is because when the parents were sending him to school, he was dreaming. And the proof that he was dreaming is his state, his current state, where they are right now. You see, you look at a person taking drugs and they look finished at 25 years. They look much older than myself at 25 years of age. You might think now this guy is an octogenarian, and yet they are only 25 years. What does he tell you? The first thing that comes into your mind is, when they were going to school, did they have a dream? Because if you do not have a dream as a young person, somebody will give you a dream. And somebody will make you dream their dreams. If you don't have your own dream. And it carries on even into adult life. When a person has never developed a habit of having their own personal dream, somebody will give them their own dream. That's how drug addicts manage to recruit people to sell drugs to. It's because they find people with no dreams. And they sell them their own dreams. Nobody ever said, when I grow up, I want to be a drug addict. Never, 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 never happened. But because they had no dream, somebody sold them their dream. Hallelujah. And I look at young people sometimes. You look at young people, and sometimes they are sitting in church. Sometimes they are sitting in a bus, or sometimes they are working out in a gym. And then I ask myself, those young people, do they have a dream? What is their dream? What will they look like 15 years from now or 20 years from now? What will they look like? If they keep dreaming the way they are dreaming, you can predict what they will be looking like. But if they have a dream, their lives will be a miracle. It will be completely different. Yes. But you can almost predict. When you see a young person with the way they behave, with a dream or without a dream, you can almost predict where they are going. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I say, as a child of God, every child of God, whether adult, young, teen, whatever, you need to have a God-given, a word-driven dream for your life. You have to stop dreaming. Stop dreaming. Hallelujah. You know, when people talk about some of these things they talk about, we shall not mention some of them, but we can mention some of them. When you hear them, you know, when I die believing, when I die a faithful believer, I will get to heaven and God will give me back my wives. No, they are allowed to marry four wives. Will give me back my four wives plus other 72 virgins. So I will be having a family of 76 wives in heaven if I remain faithful to the Lord. And you know, this is serious. It goes beyond dreaming. This is hallucinating. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good dreams are built upon the promises of God.
Amen.
You find a scripture and you build your dreams upon the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Failure to have a dream is planning to fail. Hallelujah. Let's look at a man who had a dream and what happened to his dream. Let's look at a man. Exodus chapter number 2. Let's look at a man. This guy had a dream. And we want to see how he handled his dream, what happened to his dream, and what finally happened to him. It's all there in the scriptures. God has put it there. God hid nothing. Those who succeeded, God put them in the Bible. Those who failed, God put them in the Bible. The Bible says, Paul says, for our learning. It's all there. Hallelujah. Exodus 2 verse 11. It says, New King James Version. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Nobody remains young. At some point you grow up. That he went out to his brethren. Something told him, these guys you are among them, they are not your brethren. So he went out to his own brethren and he looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating an Hebrew, one of his brethren. When Moses saw the burdens of his people, something in him rose up. Something in him was stirred. And he said, this is not supposed to be the life of my brethren. And from that moment, he had a dream. And his dream was to deliver his people from their predicament. So he had a dream. So he looked this way and he looked that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting and said to the one who was doing wrong, it must be the same guy who was fighting yesterday. So this guy was prone to strife. And then he said, but why are you striking your brother? And the guy said, but who made you judge over us? You want to kill me like you did the other Egyptian? And Moses feared. And he said, this thing is known. And he fled for life. Because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. The background story is, we all know how Moses was born and how Moses grew up. So Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. But initially, he was raised in the house of his mother. Under the pretext that the mother was just being a surrogate mother. But the real mother was the daughter of Pharaoh. And during that time, I believe with all my heart that the mother took advantage of that time to indoctrinate their son and tell them, son, you are not an Egyptian. You are a Hebrew. You belong here. You do not belong where you are going to go 2-3 years from now. So that doctrine sank into him. And it teaches us that our little children, they need to be taught from an early age. If we wait to make corrections after they have been taught things in school, it may be too late. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, there was never any doubt in the head of Moses that he was not an Egyptian. He grew up as an Egyptian prince, but he knew that he was not Egyptian. So he saw the injustices perpetrated against his own people, and he decided he was going to do something about it. Was there no reason? Was there no cause? A dream is cause-driven. So when Moses saw what was happening to his brethren, something rose up in him. Like the brother who came here and testified about, you know, soul winning and evangelism. Is, you know, the reason why he goes into the streets talking to those ladies that he was mentioning here, praying for people, is because he's cause-driven. Something in him says, I must do something about my people. I must do something about people who are going to hell. They must come to the knowledge of God. I must share the gospel with them, and they must come to Christ. Cause driven. A dream is cause driven. So his dream was to help his people. His dream was cause driven, and it needed focus. You can't have a dream and not be focused. He needed to learn how to manage his dream. Dreams need to be properly managed. And his dream was so big that he needed the help of God. No dream, no meaningful dream can be achieved without the help of God. That's why we pray. That's why we call people to come for prayer meetings and pray for the church. Pray for the work of God. Pray for the salvation of people. It's our dream for people to get saved. But no meaningful dream can be achieved without the intervention and the involvement of God. Hallelujah. So we see that Moses' focus was on others. People with small dreams or no dreams at all, they don't focus on other people. They just focus on themselves. When you have no dream, you don't think about other people. You just think about you. So Moses set out to help his people. In the process, he suffered a dream failure because he wanted to do things on his way. Hallelujah. He wanted to do things his own way. And that's the problem. Many times, as people, we want to do things our own way and we expect God to respond. But it does not work that way. It takes obedience to God for a dream to succeed. And when your dream is not God-given, when your dream is not word-centered, it can blind you and it can destroy things around you and it can even destroy your future. Because number one, it is not God-given. Number two, it is not word of God-driven. And that dream can become dangerous. It can become an ambition. And when it becomes an ambition, it becomes dangerous. So Moses failed to distinguish between a God-given dream and an ambition, and he wanted to take action too soon, without the help of God, without the involvement of God. He mismanaged the dream. He got too passionate and he lost his moral compass. He forgot that there is something called patience. If you want to achieve a good dream, there is something called patience that you cannot do without. These days are days of instant things. Instant coffee, instant this, instant that, instant marriage, instant divorce, instant prescription, instant everything. And that is what Moses wanted. Instant. And in the process, he lost it. Moses wanted it yesterday. He did not have the patience to wait. It does not work like. So he messed up and he killed a man. Hallelujah. Your moral compass is the secret to achieving your God-given dreams. Whenever you have a dream, or whenever God gives you a dream as a child of God, you must not exclude God from that dream. You must make sure that you are guided by God and keep your moral compass. That's why we have scriptures like Psalm chapter number 1, where it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Hallelujah. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. Hallelujah. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. But the ungodly are not. They are like chaff which the wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says the ungodly shall not stand in the counsel of the Lord. Hallelujah. Nor in the congregation of the upright. But he says, for the Lord knows the way. The Lord knows the dreams. The Lord knows the plans of the righteous. And that's why he says the way of the ungodly shall perish. Keep your moral compass. Stay in the word of God as you pursue your dreams. Stay in the word of God. Keep your moral compass. Stay in the word of God. And the Lord will make sure that your dreams will come to pass. Amen. Your dreams in the past may not have worked out for you. But listen to me. Dream again. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Dream again. Dream again. Dream again. Dreams have a habit of failing sometimes. Dreams have a habit of failing sometimes. But dream again. Some years ago, we had a dream. Wanted our children to get educated. We were in Zimbabwe, both myself and my wife, and we sent our children. Paid a lot of money. We sent them to Australia for uni. Wasted a lot of money. And the dream failed. Alan. And the dream failed. And they returned home with nothing. And when they return home with nothing, your friends talk. And you can't stop them from talking. Praise God. They didn't send their children anywhere. Their children went to the local universities and now they have good jobs. You send your children out of the country and here they come with a little bag with nothing inside. And they find occasion to talk. Praise the Lord. What did we do? We told each other, we have to dream again. We can't give up. It's too late for us to give up now. We have to dream again. So we dreamt again. Hallelujah. Amen. We sought for the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we said, Father God, we want to obey your will. Praise God. Obedience is important when it comes to achieving your dreams. Because disobedience will lock you out of your dreams. Hallelujah. And Moses had a God-driven dream. Hallelujah. He wanted to help people, but he wanted to do it too early. He was not patient. He did not wait until he had obeyed God. He wanted to do it his own way. It didn't work out that way. Probably that's what we did. Probably when we send our two children to Australia, we did it too early. Probably we did it without listening and hearing God properly. And the dream failed. And we had to regroup and we had to pray and to fast and to say, God, show us the proper thing. Show us the proper way. And we did it again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Moses had a dream failure. Because he did not seek to know what God wanted him to do. Sometimes assumptions force people to be what they are not. Assumptions force people to do what they are not supposed to do. Assumptions. Assumptions are dangerous because they push us into actions that are not sanctioned by God.
Yes.
Assumptions. And we may feel like it's the Holy Spirit driving us. When assumptions come, they feel like the edge of God. They feel like it's an anointing. And there they are. Assumptions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Moses killed a man while he thought he was being driven by God. And he lost the dream. And he had to flee. He fled. He left everything. He was destined to sit on the throne of Pharaoh. He left it. He wanted to help his people. He left it. And he found himself sitting by a well. Somewhere where he could not speak the language, where he could not help anybody, where he couldn't tell his story. He was just sitting somewhere in the middle of nowhere because he had mismanaged his dream. He was not patient enough. He didn't wait for the plan and the way of God in pursuing his dream. So he was there, nobody to help him, nobody to counsel him. Until the daughters of Jethro came, they took him home. And it took him 40 years to regroup and to revive the same dream and to learn how to do it properly. Hallelujah. He had to learn. If your dream failed, or if your dream fails, ask a good question. How did the dream die? Where did I miss it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like Moses, maybe you tried to rush the dream. Maybe you were supposed to wait a little bit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes things go wrong. We were building a good work, you know, back in Zimbabwe. It was infiltrated, it was destroyed. And how does this happen? Church of 600 people just goes to nothing. What did we do? Oh, Father. We have to dream again. Gathered a few people, like-minded people, and we said, let's dream again. And we started and we rebuilt with the help of guys like Tombe. We rebuilt and we built a church because we had to dream again. When the dream goes wrong, don't give up. Dream again. How many prophets were sent by God to come and preach the good news? But the dream went wrong. They were killed before they finished the preaching. But God didn't give up. He sent another prophet. And again and again and again. Until his son came. Until his son Jesus came. And they killed him too. But the dream didn't die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whatever it is that God destroyed in your life. Whatever it is that God destroyed in your life. It may be health, it may be family, it may be whatever it is that God destroyed. It is the devil. The Bible tells us clearly that it is the thief who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the child of God doesn't have to stop dreaming simply because the devil has done his devilish thing. You have to continue dreaming. The devil does his devilish thing. You do your godly thing.
Amen.
Keep dreaming.
Yes.
You keep dreaming.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God will not fail us. God will not fail you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The dream was mismanaged. The dream again. The dream, maybe you did it too early. Dream again.
Yes.
Dream again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, people will come into your life. People come in your life and they go. So if your dream failed because people left you or because people didn't do this, and stop blaming people. Hallelujah. Just dream again. People come and go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But your dreams remain with you.
Yes.
They stick to your heavenly dreams. Stick to your God-given dreams.
Yes.
And move on.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must have a personal dream. Have a personal dream. What are you dreaming about yourself? What are you dreaming about yourself? Have a personal dream. Number two, be part of a church dream. What is the dream of the Way Church? What is the dream of the church that you attend? Be part of that. You can't live a dreamless life when you belong to a church that has a dream. I can't fit that into my head. How can you be a member of a church with a dream and yet you are not part of the dream of that church? How does it happen? It's a miracle that needs to be interpreted to me. Hallelujah. Be part of a dream. That's number two. If you are a part of the church, be part of the dream. If the church prays, be part of the prayer. If the church prays, be part of the prayer meetings. If the church goes out soul winning, be part of the soul winning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And number three, be a part of people with a dream. Be a part of people with a dream. Because sometimes dreams fail. And they fail for some reasons. Hallelujah. And there are so many reasons why dreams fail. But be a part of people with dreams. I'll give you some scriptures. Hallelujah. Wrong friendships will hinder you. Wrong associations will kill your dreams. Your friends. We have always battled our children. Oh, daddy, that one is my friend. Oh, that one is my friend. No, I used to tell one of my sons, I brought him here on these K certificates. And he said, oh, daddy, that one is my friend. Son, I didn't bring you here to make friends. I brought you here to work. I don't pay school fees in a boarding school so that you may go and make friends. I pay school fees for you to go and get educated.
Yes.
Not to go and make friends. I don't have to pay fees for you to make friends.
Yes.
But these friends of yours, they are wrong friendships.
Mm-hmm.
They will kill your dream.
Yes.
Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men shall be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Their dreams shall be destroyed. It matters who your friends are. It matters who your friends are when it comes to your dreams. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good dreams. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil company corrupts, destroys good dreams. So Moses had a problem with obedience to God. And that's why his dream failed. And he was leading a bunch of people who were disobedient. And that's why they spent 40 years in the wilderness. The journey was supposed to take 40 days, but they spent 40 years. Why? The dream never came true for many of them. Because of a disobedience. And Moses was the leader of such people. It angered Moses until his anger hindered his own dream of entered into the promised land. Numbers 20. Moses got so angry that he did the opposite of what God had told him to do. He hit the rock instead of pointing at the rock. It was because of the frustration and the anger that developed in his heart because of the disobedience of people who did not know how to make the dream of the promised land come true. Hallelujah. And Moses got disqualified from his dream because of his temper. Temper can be a hindrance to a dream. Hallelujah. His attitudes. So, God said to him, I can't let you go in. You can't go in there. He lost the opportunity to get into the promised land. Hallelujah. Unbelief. Unbelief is an enemy to anybody's dream. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 19, the Bible tells, and God swore, and I swear, they will not enter. Now, if God swears that you will not enter, it means that's the end of the dream. Why? It was because of unbelief. Unbelief can be a hindrance to a dream. Praise God. Let's go towards the end of this. Hallelujah. There are dangers of not having a dream. You can't afford to live a dreamless life. You have to have a dream. It doesn't matter what age you are. Somehow you have to have a dream that makes you tick, that makes you wake up, that makes you go on your knees. You have to have a dream that makes you give an offering. You have to have a dream that makes you go to a prayer meeting. Otherwise, if you don't have any of those things, you die. You're finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's dangerous not to have a dream. It's dangerous not to have a dream. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So when you have Proverbs 13:12, so when you have a dream and that dream comes to pass, it becomes a tree of life. So when you have no dream, when you have no dream, you have nothing to revive you. You have nothing to make you alive. Hallelujah. So it's dangerous not to have a dream. The dangers of not having a dream. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. You have to know. You have to have good information concerning your dream. Yeah. Hallelujah. Between now and when the Lord comes, between now and when the Lord comes, you have to have a dream. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to have a dream. There are times when I'm almost getting to 70. Maybe a few years from 70, I'm almost there. And there are sometimes when I think myself, is it too, maybe it's too late for me. Maybe I should have, maybe. But then I read scriptures like Isaiah 46, verse number 4. Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will be, even I will carry and I will deliver you. And I say, so why not dream? If he is with me until I get to 90 or 100, why not dream? Why not dream? If he promises me to be with me for that long, so why not dream? Why not dream? Of course, I can't dream joining Liverpool, but I have to have reasonable dreams. Why not dream? Listen to what the Bible says. Psalm 92, verse number 13. It says, Psalm 92, verse number 13. It says, those who are planted in the house of God. How many of you are in the house of God? Raise your hand. Let me see if you are in the house of God.
Amen.
Some of you think you are in the pub. Okay, fine. Those who are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. In old age. So what does he tell me? It tells me it's never too late. With God, it's never too late. It's never too late to pray. It's never too late to fast. It's never too late to dream. It's never too late to believe God for whatever. It's never too late. It's only the devil who tells us it's too late.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's never too late.
Yes.
Praise God. Abraham had a son, 800. 800, some of his colleagues now are right now in chaos. But Abraham believed God. And it was attributed unto him as faith. The Bible says, if he refused to consider, he said, I will give no consideration to the steadiness of Sarah's womb. That's how other old men believed God. That's how other old men believed God. They refused to consider considerable situations, reasonable situations. They said, I will not consider the deadness. And at 90, the woman was pregnant and she was busy doing shopping. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Buying preparation for the new baby. And they knew it was a boy. At 90. Hallelujah. At 50. Some of us are already feeling like we feel bones creaking and screaming. Ooh. At 50. But here is a man who believed God and said, the dream of a son, I'm not letting it go. The son was their dream. Because God has said, out of your own belly, this Ishmael is not. Out of your own. And Abraham said, ha ha, I'm not gonna listen to the to what gynecologists are gonna say about the womb and the uterus of my wife. I would rather believe God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know what? I was fascinated the other day, Pastor David, when he was giving his testimony the other day. He said, no, we were done. We wanted to change in Spalding. And then God says to me, you have not begun. You are just beginning. At 70, you are just beginning. At 70, just beginning. So that's why you see sometimes the man is jumping, doesn't know what to do, because God told him at 70, you are. Yes. You are beginning. He thought he was done. But God says, you're not too old. Amen. You are not as old as you think. Hallelujah. You are not as old as you think. I said you are not as old as you think.
Amen.
And God can still use you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to feel old while you sit there in your chair? You are not as old as you feel. I'm challenging your age in the name of the Lord. What can you do unto me? The Lord is my helper.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some years ago, I saw on BBC, there was this old man. He was 80, and the news was saying, this man got his first degree at 80. Yeah. I'm sure some of you saw the article. There was this old Englishman who got his first degree at 80. And I said, where was he at 25? Where was he at 50? At 25, he was dreaming. At 50, he was dreaming. At 70, he was dreaming. At 75, he had a dream.
Yeah.
And at 80, he got hold of his dream.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stop dreaming. Stop dreaming and have a dream. Learn how to manage your God-given dream. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, don't do things by yourself. Seek for the help of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is time to dream again for yourself. For your children, for your church, for your business. Don't believe the lies of the devil. The devil is a liar. Whatever he says is a lie.
Yes.
He will tell you, you can't.
Yes.
When God says you can.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So if God says I can, it means I can. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the dead can come alive. I think it's one of the songs that our sister sang. She said, the dead come alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's one of the worship songs that we sang here today. Dead dreams
Amen.
Can be revived.
Yes.
They can come alive
Amen.
Again. Hallelujah. So I want to end by speaking to your dreams. And I want to say, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
May your dreams be revived.
Amen.
May God give you Holy Ghost-inspired dreams.
Amen.
And may God give you the wisdom to manage those dreams and to achieve those dreams.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And may it happen against all odds. May God cause you to dream, to have a dream that will come to pass in your day.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I speak life to your dreams.
Amen.
I speak life to your dreams.
Amen.
May your dreams live again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
May God help you to achieve them.
Amen.
Remember what Isaiah said. You don't have to achieve them yesterday. You need to be patient. Don't be like Moses. Take your time. Praise God. And your dreams will come true.
Amen.
If you believe it, clap your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you today. We give you the glory, we give you the honor. It is you who plants dreams in our hearts and in our minds. I pray today that dead dreams will be revived. Dreams that have been shelved, dreams that have been gathering dust. Because of the lies of the devil, they have been set aside. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the grace to pick up those dreams again. Run with those dreams and cause them to come to pass. I pray for each and every one of your children here that they may receive Holy Ghost-inspired dreams. Dreams that will change the face of the world. Dreams that will change the face of the church, even their families. Dreams that will bring glory and honor to the name and the house of God. I pray, Father God, for living dreams to be achieved and to be accomplished in our lives. I pray against every hindrance, against every lie of the devil, every lie that tells us that we cannot, every lie that tells us it's too late, every lie that tells us that you are too old or you are too young, lies that say you are not educated enough, lies that say you are too educated to pursue that kind of dream, we debunk those lies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive God-inspired and Holy Ghost-inspired dreams, and we run with those dreams in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, it is our dream to save you. It is our dream to live in healthy bodies. It is our dreams to see our children coming to salvation. It is our dream to see your church filled with people worshiping you, giving glory and honor to your name. It is our dream, my Father God, to save you until Jesus comes. It is our dream to see your salvation, to see your power, to experience your glory in our bodies, in our lives, in our minds, in our finances, in our businesses. It is our dream to see you work in the lives of our children. It is our dream to see you work in our nation. It is our dream to see you work in our nations, to turn things around, to change things around in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our dream to see the hand and the power of God in everything that pertains to us. Therefore, we say, Father God, let it be according to your word. Deal with us according to your promise. Deal with us according to your word. Deal with us according to your loving kindness and tender mercies. In the name of the Lord Jesus, forgive our mistakes, forgive our impatience, forgive our arrogance, forgive our disobedience, and help us to achieve our dreams in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you today. We give glory and we give honor to your holy name in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Let's clap our hands to Jesus one more time.